The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I am joined by Bo, also known as History Bro or BB Dade, known by many names, and I'm Josh. And what I'm going to talk about today is dreams. Can we decipher things about the world around us with our dreams? Do our dreams actually mean anything at all? Why do we dream in the first place? How does it work? Well, hopefully I'm going to try and answer these questions to the best of my ability, but many of these questions, the truth is, we don't really know. And there is research out there looking at this sort of thing, but I think that both our and your speculation is actually relevant here, because all of us experience dreams, or at least you should. I'd be a bit worried if you didn't. And everyone has their own unique experiences of how they work for them and that sort of thing. So actually, this is one of those cases where you don't really need to be some sort of expert. Everyone's got some degree of expertise on this because they've done it their whole lives, haven't they?
Yeah. So, it's funny that even animals seem to dream, don't they?
Yes, they do, yeah. As far as we're aware, anyway. Obviously, we can't ask them, but it seems like they do. I've certainly seen pet dogs kick their legs when they're asleep, like they're trying to move or something like that, and then they wake up suddenly, and that's the kind of thing that a human being would do, wouldn't it? Where you feel like you're trying to move in your sleep, and then you wake up because you can't move, or something along those lines. But it was your idea to cover this. What was your main interest in dreams, more specifically?
Well, loads of questions, but where you know about actual brain chemistry, I wondered what's actually going on. Do we know?
I will talk about that towards the end. That's going to be the thing I actually wrap up with, is the actual neuroscience of it and what brain areas are implicated, because that's one of the best ways we can actually study this scientifically. Because, of course, it's not like we can study the phenomenon of dreaming from the sort of dreamer's eye view, because the images in their head, you can't possibly measure that really, except for, of course, the neural activity that's going on and what areas are implicated in conjuring those images and all of that sort of thing. And there's lots of things that are relevant to this that you can rely on anecdote for, and I think that's quite useful, trying to understand how your own experiences relate to the neuroscience side of things. Just like, oh, I had this really strange dream, but that must be because of this part of the brain, and I was at this part of the sleep cycle, so it was like this. I think that actually understanding the nature of sleep itself is far better for understanding the nature of your dreams than perhaps even the neuroscience, although it's pretty close. So probably worth addressing, why do we need sleep in the first place? I know that's not necessarily relevant to dreaming, but it's important to cover, and obviously it allows your body to do repairs and maintenance. That's one of the main things. A lot of your healing gets done when you're asleep. There's also the fact that adenosine, I think it's pronounced, which is a neurotransmitter, accumulates in the brain throughout the day as a byproduct of energy metabolism. So it's basically your brain throughout the day produces this just by requiring energy. It's like a byproduct. It's like putting petrol in your car and getting CO2 out. And as the levels increase, they signal to the brain that it's time to sleep. And it's worth mentioning as well that caffeine actually works by blocking this neurotransmitter and thus preventing the build-up and promoting you being more awake. That's why having a cup of coffee in the morning wakes you up, is because it's blocking the receptors in your brain that pick up this adenosine. So yes, that's one of them. Of course, another theory is that it allows your brain to consolidate information that you've learnt during the day. This is quite a common theme in the dream research as well, that it's actually a means of collating and organising information. But it doesn't necessarily seem like the main explanation to why we sleep, because of course the human brain has a lot more to do. You'd imagine it'd have a lot more to file, and therefore we would sleep more. But there are lots of animals that sleep more than human beings. So it doesn't necessarily seem to be exclusively that, and it seems to be a multitude of different factors building up to create an overall drive towards this. Of course, it also helps regulate emotions because it stabilizes the neurochemicals involved in things like anxiety and depression, and therefore after a good sleep, you're generally speaking going to feel better about the world and less anxious, hopefully.
It's interesting how sleep deprivation is a type of torture.
Yes.
I was rereading A Bridge Too Far again, and there's a bit in that where they talked about how sometimes when it goes too far, some people would prefer death to not being able to sleep. I'm talking like for days and days and days on end, though.
The most I've done is 2 days when I just was working a lot and was at university, and I didn't actually have time to sleep, because I'd work throughout the night, go to university through the day, then go back to work again, and then do the same thing again, and then just have a day where I sleep for like 16 hours. It's really bad for you, like horrifically bad for you. Like I looked pretty ill when I was doing that, but it was the only way I was able to pay my bills, because the government screwed me over with my student loan.
Yeah, I've been up for more than 48 hours a couple of times. It's horrible. Interesting, I saw a guy on Joe Rogan talk about how if you don't have caffeine soon after you wake up, you're less likely to have that sort of 3 p.m.
crash.
Dump.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I do have that, actually, and I do have a cup of coffee in the morning, but I cut it out and it wasn't too noticeable. I think it's just because I don't have that much caffeine. I just have one cup of coffee, maybe a top-up cup of tea, and then I'm normally okay. But if you have constant caffeine throughout the day, I think the impact of the crash is much higher, isn't it? Because there's this sort of overwhelming tide pushing through rather than a gradual trickle. But moving on to the actual stages of sleep, because I was quite surprised at this. I know that the stages of sleep aren't necessarily a mystery to most people, but the implications for dreaming were certainly a surprise to me, at the least. So there are 4 stages, and the first one is simply labelled non-REM sleep. Of course, REM stands for rapid eye movement, because of your eyes rapidly moving. So that doesn't happen in this sleep stage. And this, of course, surprise, surprise, occurs when you first fall asleep. So there's a transition period between wakefulness and sleep, which lasts around 5 to 10 minutes. And this is where you might have your sort of hypnagogic stage of sleep, because I've heard you mention that to me before, where you're sort of in between a state of wakefulness and sleep, and that's it, pretty much. There's a whole genre of music called hypnagogic music, which tries to lull you into the state between wakefulness and sleep. And normally there's lots of drones and there's no sharp notation. Everything kind of bleeds into one another, trying to almost take you somewhere without you deliberately doing so.
I'm fascinated by that intermediate period where you're definitely not completely asleep. You're still aware of the room around you and any noises in it, but your brain is sort of tripping out with images against your will, like dream type images.
Sometimes it makes me quite worried, because sometimes I feel like I'm becoming a bit mad, because I get the impact of the dreams coming in. I'm just like, oh, this must be like what it's like to be like a schizophrenic, like having images that I'm not willing to be there, or hearing things that aren't necessarily there. Like it's almost like the dreams are creeping into my conscious mind. And it's a very weird sensation if you're aware of it happening. Sometimes it is quite a rapid thing that you don't really have any awareness of, or at least...
Yeah, usually it's just,
But sometimes you can be aware of it, and it can be quite scary because you realise that your brain is kicking up lots of things that aren't deliberate. You're getting all of these sensory experiences that aren't really real. They're hallucinations, basically. And it makes you realise that when mentally ill people have these waking hallucinations, it's not actually too far off from that early sleep stage when it's particularly bad. I imagine, I've never had them before, so I imagine that it's probably far worse if you're conscious and aware of them, and probably more severe, but it's at least comparable, right?
That would be like a hell to have that constantly doing it.
I have seen, there was a video that tried to simulate the experience of having schizophrenia. So it just had the sort of noises and things, and there's no way I could concentrate with that. It would be a constant sort of... It's not even like a drone that you could cancel out. It's sort of periodic chiming in and out. So it would constantly occupy a certain portion of your attention. And I imagine the people that can live with that and live a normal life, well, that's quite an achievement. Because if I were forced to listen to that for a long time, I would not be happy.
And also in the hypnagogic state or in full dream states, it feels like images from your subconscious are thrown out. So things you couldn't...
That's exactly what's happening, yeah.
Right, so your conscious brain, you couldn't recall those memories or those images if you tried, but they're still in there somewhere. And so, yeah, it's truly against your will, in a sense.
And of course, if you are sort of awoken, although that's not perhaps the right word because you're sort of semi-conscious, but if you're disturbed during this stage of sleep, you would probably report that you're not quite asleep because you're still aware of your surroundings. I've had this before where I've been like woken up because I'm snoring, and then I'd be like, I wasn't asleep. And they're like, well, you were snoring. Of course you were. But I was just like, but I can still sense the world around me. Almost confused. But yeah, I suppose there is some sort of bleed over there where you are sort of unconscious, even if you do have some sort of sense of the world around you. But I also find it strange that it's normally a period of 5 to 10 minutes, because sometimes it feels like it's quite a long time. Like I've felt like before where I've slept all night, it's almost felt like I've been in that stage the whole time. Like I've woke up multiple times and been aware of what's going on. Never fully got into a proper deep sleep.
Oh, what I've had in the mornings is an alarm on my phone, and then you just press snooze multiple times. So you're sort of coming in and out of that intermediate state for an hour or something. It's interesting.
I don't have the multiple snooze alarms. I just go straight to the immediate, you have to get up. Because otherwise, I've had this once before. I wasn't actually late, but where I've assumed I've had more snooze alarms than I actually did and turned off my actual main alarm. Or I've had it before, actually, where I've turned the alarm off basically in a half asleep.
I've done that.
And then forgot that I did it and carried on sleeping. And then I woke up thinking, oh, I didn't set an alarm, but then I actually did. It's frustrating, but... It happens to everyone, unfortunately. It's also worth mentioning that in this stage, your brain starts to slow down, your heartbeat does as well, so do your eye movements and your breathing as well, and your body seems to just relax, and you may have sort of muscle twitches as they go from being sort of tensed up in wakefulness into being more relaxed. So sometimes when I'm quite tired, I get fidgety legs when my muscles start to relax, so I get the urge to move them about, which makes me very annoying to have to be in the same room with. But that's what that is.
I have that sometimes when I'm falling asleep. It can be quite bad, like a full spasm.
Well, I have that when...
Like my leg just like that.
That's similar to getting that sensation when you're in this sort of stage, when you're falling asleep, and then you suddenly start like you've been falling or something. It's very similar to that feeling when you're leaning on a chair and you feel like you're just about to go too far and you push yourself forwards like that. Is that same exact thing? And I think that happens at this stage as well. And I quite often get that, and it's quite embarrassing sometimes, because I've done it on the train where I've been falling asleep and then I just went... I've seen other people do it, and it never fails to make me laugh, like the look of sheer terror when someone realises what happened. So, as we've mentioned, you can dream of you turning off your alarm. There's also the example of needing to go to the toilet and dreaming that you're using one and people then wetting the bed. This has never happened to me, but I have dreamed of the toilet when I've been in need of going to the toilet, like actually dreaming of using the toilet, but yet not still wet the bed. So I'm very proud of myself. Congratulations to me for not urinating myself. But yes, I think it seems to be within this sort of stage where you get that sort of thing because you're aware of external stimuli, whereas when you're in a deeper sleep, unless it's enough to just wake you up straight away, like you're in some sort of pain or you're overheating or something like that. I've been woken up before where I've been just really warm. It's only those sorts of things that have the power to wake you up, whereas if you're in quite a deep sleep, going to the toilet might not actually be enough to wake you up. So the second stage is non-REM sleep again, but it's light sleep rather than being in a combination of wakeful and sort of unconsciousness. So people spend about half of all their sleeping time in this second stage, and it lasts about 20 minutes in each cycle. So you become less aware of your surroundings, your body temperature drops even more, your eye movements stop, your breathing and heart rate become more regular again rather than slowing down, which is interesting. I'm not entirely sure of the physiological reason for that. And then your brain produces rapid rhythmic brainwave activity, which are known as sleep spindles. And it's thought that these are a product of memory consolidation. So when your brain gathers and processes and filters new memories onto sort of your unconscious for filing away, it's that sort of thing. It's how you can access previous memories, because I actually find that I can access things that memories that are a bit older, but not by much, than the previous days. And I almost think that sometimes there might be a bit of a delay in how quickly you can process information. It might take even a couple of days. It's just my own theory. I'm not entirely sure. But it seems like after enough time has passed, you can finally access those memories in a much better way than if they're freshly made and consolidated with just maybe one sleep.
That's interesting.
So the third stage is again non-REM sleep, but this is a deep sleep where any sort of environmental stimuli will not really wake you unless it's really quite severe, like a fire alarm or a kick in the head or having water poured over your face, that sort of thing. This is, of course, the stage of sleep that's most important for you feeling well rested, because I think when you're in the deepest sleep, most of your brain is inactive. And this is also where your body starts physical repairs. So this is where most of the good stuff of sleeping happens, in that this is the more biological reason why it happens at the very least. But that doesn't really give us much when we're talking about dreaming. So moving on to the final stage, and that is REM sleep, which begins about 90 minutes after falling asleep, typically. And this is where you have, believe it or not, rapid eye movements, increased brain activity, and you have complete muscle paralysis. And it's thought that the muscle paralysis is some sort of evolved mechanism to prevent people from acting out in their dreams. So you don't want people to, say, be punching out when they're fast asleep, because not only could they hurt themselves, they could hurt the people around them as well. And particularly if you're dreaming of being attacked or something, you could really hurt yourself if you're kicking and thrashing about in bed. And yes, The majority of dreaming occurs during this REM sleep cycle, although they can occur in other stages as well. This seems to be where the majority of them happen. And the amount of REM sleep you actually have seems to vary dependent on your age as well. Infants have the most time in REM sleep, and older adults spend the least time in REM sleep. And I don't know whether you can remember very well, but I certainly dreamt a lot more when I was younger than I do now. I know that much.
Yeah, I can't say one way or another. I think I probably did. Yeah.
So I remember as a child dreaming all the time, like having multiple dreams constantly. And now I'm older, I don't really get it so much. It's a bit more of a quiet sleep, really. It seems like memory consolidation continues in this fourth stage, like in the previous one. But it's also thought that this is where emotions, and particularly emotional memories are stored. And of course, this is how emotional it is affected by our waking attitudes towards it. So it seems like this is carried over into us being unconscious, which suggests that there is some sort of constant thread between the two, because if your waking emotions have bearing on how your brain processes stuff when you're asleep, or your unconscious mind, then it seems like there's a constant sort bleed through of information, because there wouldn't be a means of your brain accessing this conscious information unless that was the case.
But isn't it interesting how sometimes, like what I was trying to explain before, like maybe the image of a face of some kid from primary school that you'd in your waking life couldn't remember, but then in your dream it gives you it.
Yeah, so
crystal clear.
It seems like you, in your unconscious mind, you have a catalogue or a library of faces, and you seem to, even with people that you think you've never met in waking life, if you see a face in your dreams, you have seen that face before, it seems, or at least that's what we seem to believe at the minute in the world of psychology. So it could just be that was someone you saw at the shops, and your brain takes a snapshot of their face, even though you place no conscious significance on it. And then maybe years later, it crops up in your dreams, because you don't have a limit to your long-term memory. In theory, you can store as much information as possible in your long-term memory. The problem is recall, and because, of course, you can recognize something as being familiar if you've forgotten about it consciously. Someone could show you, say, an old photo, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I remember there now. And you couldn't consciously remember it, but you can recognize it, which implies that in your long-term memory, you still have that there. It's just how easily you can access that information. And I think that when you're asleep, because you're not conscious, your brain can conjure up more sensations and more stimuli than you'd be able to consciously recall. Because I can think of lots of cases where I've had dreams where I think, oh, this is a new person I've never met before, that I don't recognize that face. And I can remember the face in quite a lot of detail, but just because I don't remember them in conscious life, I must have seen their face elsewhere, which is a strange thought, that you have information in your head that you can't really access except when asked, oh, do you recognize this, and actually shown the same thing in waking life. So it's also strange to think that you could be walking along a street and then in a couple of years' time dream about someone's face and dream about them being someone else. It's very strange, isn't it? It almost feels like you don't have any agency over what your brain is doing, which you don't really in that sense. So final thing to say on the stages of sleep is that some research has suggested that dreaming about a traumatic event can help reduce the emotional impact of that event, which makes it easier for people to cope with their emotions, which is a clear reason to have dreams in the first place, because of course our distant ancestors certainly had more hardship to overcome. That's fair to say. And perhaps in dreaming about these things that happened in waking life, it made conscious life easier to bear. And I think that that's a clear advantage of being able to do this in the first place, and a good potential explanation of why something like this would evolve. But then it makes you question, well, rats dream. What do rats really get traumatized? Do they get things like PTSD? I think it raises some questions, although it's certainly fair to say that they have memories and they have attachments that could be traumatic to lose. But is it in the same manner as a human being? Well, I would imagine probably not. Vastly different brains, don't we? Mm. But they still dream. So it seems like there's more to it than it simply being some sort of coping mechanism, but that might be a part of it. I think that that's likely something that came later on and is more exclusive to human beings than it might be non-human animals. So I don't know whether it's possible for non-human animals to even have nightmares, particularly if they've, say, been raised in captivity where they've had no threats. Well, what do they have to dream about that's bad? Like, if you've just got a pet dog that's lived a pampered life, it would have to have a certain level of abstract thinking to think of a threat because it hasn't directly experienced one.
Mm.
So that's... I think there's certainly an element of imagination in the human dream experience that might not exist in non-human animals, but we simply don't know yet. So I wanted to talk a bit about your actual experience of dreaming, and I'm going to talk a bit about mine as well. And the first thing that I've noticed about dreaming is that the quality of dreams in terms of how indistinguishable they are from reality seem to vary quite a lot. I've had some dreams that have been ridiculously realistic that almost felt just as real as a memory. And then on the other hand, I've had dreams that have been so weird and abstract and unusual that I've almost had to come up with a rationalization in my dream as to why they're so muddled up quite a lot. I have a dream where I'm sort of uneasy on my feet and not able to walk properly and things like that. And I rationalize it as I'm drunk. But of course, the real reason is I'm asleep and trying to move around the world that I've constructed in my head. And therefore, the same laws of physics don't apply, and the fact that I can't really control my feet or things like that, and I'm falling over in my dream, that's because I'm asleep. But my brain rationalizes it as, oh, you're probably drunk, aren't you? So it's going to then try and contextualize it as being a canon thing of, okay, now I'm drunk in this dream. So I seemingly have lots of dreams like that, which I have understood them to be some sort of rationalization for dreams that aren't very realistic. And I also find that if I try and look at my phone in those dreams, so I have a specific example of, I had a dream where I was lost in London at night and I couldn't really move properly, and my brain had rationalized it as being drunk. So I thought, you know what, I'll call a taxi. And then I looked at my phone and it was just a white screen, and it was just completely blank. And it wasn't as if in my dream I thought, well, I can't, the phone's broken, or I can't see it. It was more that I don't have the ability to generate this thing. It was very strange, but I understood it as the fact that I was just trying to use a tool that my brain didn't have the power to completely construct at the current capacity, at that current stage of sleep. And I think it's probably not the REM sleep the place where you have the most dreams. It was probably in some other stage of sleep when your cognitive power is lower.
I feel like maybe we're touching on that thing of lucid dreaming, whether you're aware within your dream that you're dreaming. And I very rarely have that. No matter how bizarre my dream is, I'm not aware that it's a dream. So it doesn't really matter how weird it is.
A lot of the time I'm not aware of it, but I have been aware of my dreams before, and I have deliberately done things. Like I remember having a dream. I can't remember what it was exactly. I think I was paragliding through some sort of Scottish Highland looking area. And I think it got to the point where I was having to drag it along loads of ground. And I just thought, this is really tedious. And then I suddenly became aware that I was dreaming. And I was just like, well, if this is a dream, I'm just going to like click my fingers and appear in a hotel. And lo and behold, there I was. And I was just like, oh, well, right. There we go. But
a like, true lucid dream.
Yeah, but I didn't really make the most of it in that case because I just basically got myself out of chores that I'd created for myself in the first place. But you can be aware of it. I've had it quite a few times where I've had like a scary dream where someone's trying to kill me, or I've had it where I've dreamt that people broke into where I lived and tried to kill me. And like, as they're stabbing me, like in my brain, I've conjured up like the ability to pause my dream. It's really quite strange. I think it's from playing too many video games. Like I get a pause menu that comes up and like I even see it in my dream with like the actual scene being the overlay and a little menu pop up, but I can't actually read any of the words, but it's this little overlay. And then I'm sort of conscious thinking, wow, that was scary. Well, I suppose I've stopped it now. That's the worst of it. Okay, I can deal with the dream again now. And then I go back into it again, which is really, I've not heard of anyone else talking about that. But
I've never had that, but I have played games all day long. And then that night I dream in the game.
I've had that before.
I've done that with Tetris as a kid, little kid. Minecraft, Civ 4. I think what you do during the day plays out in the dreams as well.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Quite often, when I have dreams like that, though, I'm dreaming that I'm still playing the game. It's not like I'm in the perspective of...
Oh, I do.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it can change, then.
But again, I never question it.
I suppose it depends at what stage of the sleep cycle you're at, because if you're at one of the more conscious ones, then it makes sense that you're a bit more aware of yourself and therefore you might see it from the perspective of someone playing a game rather than actually experiencing it yourself, like firsthand. Mm. So I think that that's certainly a factor in how your dream experience happens, is how self-aware you are. That's certainly a variable. But then I have had ridiculously vivid dreams as well, in that I had a dream that I was an injured Unionist American Civil War soldier. And the way the dream started was I woke up really disorientated, immediately aware that I'd got an injured arm and I had a leg injury as well. And I looked down at an unfamiliar uniform, because I don't really know too much about the American Civil War. And I was in a sort of evergreen tree forest, and there were lots of bodies around me, but I was the only person that was up and moving. It was early morning, so...
Was it a dark blue uniform or a grey?
It was dark blue.
Okay, Yankee. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Wouldn't be the side I'd pick, but, you know. Probably going to get me in trouble, but... Yes, yeah, so I woke up there and I was surrounded by what seemed to be a Civil War era battle. I'm only saying it's Civil War because I'm presuming that it was that sort of era. I could tell from the sort of firearms, but I remember finding a rifle and using it as a bit of a crutch to stand up, obviously checking the barrel to make sure that there wasn't I forgot what they're called, like a pellet. A musket in there, right. Whatever. I'm not even sure if that's the right kind of gun for that era. It is, isn't it? It's sort of...
They had rifles and muskets.
Okay. So I even checked it for that, which wouldn't occur to me, being conscious necessarily. That would just be a matter of fact thing to do. And even in the logic of my dream, I kind of knew my way around it, even though if you handed it to me, I'd probably be able to figure it out. But it wouldn't be as intuitive as in the dream. And then I could even tell, I could feel like the moisture of the morning air and tell that it was about to warm up as the day was progressing, and I could hear birdsong and things like that. And there was a whole host of sensory experiences that was even more noticeable than if I were conscious in some cases. Mm. Like, it was a really, really vivid sensory hyper-real experience. Yeah. It was much realer than some actual real experiences. And I ended up hobbling away, trying to find civilization, really disorientated. And eventually a bear started tracking me, and it chased me for a while, and I fell down a short cliff and broke my leg, and then it ate me.
Oh God.
So that was the experience. But it was all really, really vivid. When the bear was mauling me, when I broke my leg, I felt it all like it was real.
God.
And that level of experience where it actually feels like you've experienced something. Like, when I woke up for a little while, I was just like, that almost felt like I'd experienced someone's death there for a second.
Like, it's traumatic.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.